Okay, good morning. Welcome. It's an exciting day here for us to be able to put the final touches on the staff, but the most important part of it for me was assembling a quality set of coordinators, and I think we've absolutely accomplished that. Chris Tabor worked with our special teams. He's one of the most well-respected special team coaches in the league. It was evidenced by the number of requests that came in for him after the season that he was not permitted to leave, and I was glad that happened. He's a quality coach. He's the son of a coach, as you guys will see with the staff makeup. I have a soft spot for coaches' kids. His units, like I said, they're well respected throughout the league. When I talked to some guys and I was putting the staff together, a lot of them took a moment and said, "Hey, listen, you've got a real good coach in Chris. That's a solid hire." So again, very very pleased to be able to retain Chris and his assistant as well. Kyle Shanahan is one of the best offensive minds in football. When I've been on the defensive side and I've had conversations with people about how I wanted to build an offense, and usually when we went against, whether it was either Houston or Washington, it's going to be a style similar to that. It's aggressive, very creative, but at the same time very fundamentally sound. Challenges a defense. Gone back and studied some of that tape during this process and kind of went through in my mind as a defensive coordinator, and again, it presents a lot of problems. The other thing that was appealing to me, and it came out, Kyle had a great interview, and what came out in that is that he's firm, he's fair, but you can tell he's very demanding. When I talked about wanting to have a coaching staff that was going to set high standards and give players a high level of what to shoot for, that I knew I was hiring a guy that was going to hold those players accountable and to those standards. And Jim O'Neill, as many of you know, that Jim O'Neill played for my father at Central Bucks West High School back in the 90s, and that gave him instant credibility with me because that meant to me that he had thick skin, that if he could handle playing for him, then that he could handle just about anything that I could ever throw at him. And don't let his baby face fool you. I think he actually maybe grew a little facial hair the last couple of days to make himself look older. But Jim is a tenacious coach. Again, smart. He's tough. He's creative. And he and I have done it together. He's been at my side for the last 5 years when I was a coordinator, and that was actually a year longer. I was really Rex's right-hand guy. Rex is 4 years in Baltimore. So I think there's a lot of parallels to those situations. When Rex went up to New York and I was kind of the unknown coordinator that they were hiring, I think this is very similar here. I think Jim's very capable. He's always looking to improve. And again, just like Kyle, he's going to set high standards. He's going to be firm. He's going to be fair. And I think the players are going to instantly – respect the guys that we've hired as well as the rest of the coaching staff, because it's a staff. It's men of high character, vast football knowledge, and coupled with the ability to teach it. You see a lot of coaches out there that are great on the grease board, but they can't put it in language that the players can handle and take onto the field. And then the number one prerequisite for all the coaches was an outstanding work ethic, and I think we've been able to accomplish that as well. So when the players get in, they're going to see a dedicated group of great teachers that are passionate about football, and they're united by a burning desire to win. And again, as I've said before, high standards, and that we're going to hold the players accountable to it. But it's not going to be done with an iron fist. I don't believe in that style of coaching. You know, at times we're going to share some lighter moments, but at the same time, we'll know when to work, but we'll also know when to play. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and bring the coordinators up and open it up for questions.
Do you feel like you have to break away from your dad's shadow and just talk about doing that?
You know, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be nice when, you know, I hear the head coach's last name, S isn't always tagged to the end of it, and you hear the Shanahan, so I'm looking forward to that part. But, you know, I've worked a lot of years in the NFL. I started out my career away from my dad. That was always a goal of mine to, you know, prove myself before I ever coached with my dad. You know, I started at UCLA and then went to Tampa and then had four good years in Houston. And, you know, I felt that I had proved myself, and it was something I always wanted to do in my life. I wanted to coach with my dad at one time, and, you know, I enjoyed it. You know, we went through some ups and downs, but it's something that I want to take back for anything. You know, it's excited to move on and be done with that part of my life, but I think it made me better, and it's something I'm glad that I did.
Kyle, why did you want to take this job?
Really, I'm excited talking to Coach. You know, Coach called me in for an interview, came in. Really, it was the first time I met Coach. We got to spend a lot of time together. Had gone against him a bunch and, you know, didn't like him as much going against him because, you know, that was a little tougher. But, you know, getting to meet him and knowing how good of a coach he is. And this is my first time getting a chance to work for a defensive coach. And I'm kind of excited with that. You know, I've always been with an offensive guy, and to be on a good defensive staff. And, you know, I think defense is one of the most important things in winning games. And I'm really looking forward to it. I know we're going to have a good defensive staff here, and I think there's a lot of talent on this roster, and I'm looking forward to the challenge.
A lot of coaches and coordinators have come here and gone. I mean, what do you see in this offense that you think would be good?
Well, you know, I mean, growing up a coach's son, I mean, I moved a ton growing up, so I understand that's part of the NFL. You know, you got to succeed and you got to win games to stay places. And unfortunately, they haven't done that enough here. And when that does happen, people make changes, and that's part of the business. And it goes with that's what you expect getting into this business. But when you see some talent on a team, you see some young players, you know, the organization's committed to winning. They're going to do whatever they can to win. And you get the right people in the right places. It's I feel as good of a situation as any. And because of the people and the talent that they have and the situation. Situation they put themselves in, I think it is a good situation, and very excited to be here.
Cal, the Browns draft a rookie quarterback as they might. To talk about the challenges of working with a rookie, as obviously you did in 2012, but could you just talk about that?
Really, you know, I've started one rookie before, so, you know, that's my experience with that. And, you know, when we brought Robert in, I think the challenges of that was anytime you bring a rookie in and you start him right away, you know, you got to find out what they do good. You got to make sure you put them in a situation to be successful. Don't ask too much of them. Usually if you spend a high pick on a guy, there's some stuff that they do pretty good. And you got to really figure out what that is by studying college tape. You got to figure out and anticipate how the NFL is going to play that stuff when you put that in your scheme. And you don't want to put too much pressure on him. Make it loose for him. Make it stuff he's confident in doing that he's done in his career prior. Really what's made him successful. And you really let him focus on that early. You try to build him and prepare him and how defenses are going to adapt to him and what he's going to eventually have to grow to build his portfolio so he can face everything and have sustained success in this league. But I think the most important thing is asking them to do what they're great at and then working at improving in the other aspects of their game.
Jim, why were you guys able to kind of turn around the Buffalo defense last year? I think a lot of people thought that there was some talent there, but that there were some underachieving players, and you guys seemed to get the most out of them. Why do you guys think you had so much success last year with that group?
Well, I think it starts with, you know, our scheme over the years has always been built around taking advantage of what our players do best, and then we can kind of put in the schematics from there. I mean, New York Jets in 2009 was very different than New York Jets in 2011 because we had different players, we had different strengths, different weaknesses. So I think when we got to Buffalo and we went through the offseason and we went through training camp and we evaluated the roster, you know, we knew where our strengths were, we knew where our weaknesses were, and then we built the scheme around that. And obviously those guys flourished, especially up front.
Were there any of the interviews that you were requested that you wanted to pursue, and what was your reaction to a change being made after 1 year?
Well, anytime there's change, I mean, you're always initially you're shocked, but as Kyle mentioned earlier, I mean, in the NFL, change is always fluid. And, you know, for me and my family to have the opportunity to stay here again and work for another head coach, I feel very fortunate that the organization has given me that opportunity because I like it here, my family likes it here, And that's, you know, that's another dynamic that a lot of people don't talk about. And I grew up in the same house. My mom still lives in the same house. And for myself to give my daughters another opportunity to stay in the same hometown, that's important to me.
Jim, what do you see out of the defensive personality you're inheriting? And how similar do you think your and Mike's scheme will be to the one that they ran last year?
I'm excited about the young talent here. We're still, as a defensive staff, meticulously going through the tape. We're probably 8 to 10 games in. But I think it's hard to give a true 100% evaluation until you get the guys here and you plug them in your system, you see them in the meeting room, you know, you get around them, you get to know them, you see what kind of teammates they are. But I'm excited, you know. But we are meticulously going through the tape and evaluating each guy and, you know, writing very detailed reports on them. But you don't truly know till they're here and we get through that first camp and we see what they look like in our system.
How much input do you think you'll have on who the quarterback is, and how much does it matter, you know, what you can do depending on what style of guy that it is?
Well, you know, I'm going to evaluate everybody. You know, that's my job to do that. I'm going to do that as best as I can and give an honest opinion. And then you hope that you know, you work hard, you look at a lot of tape, and you give them your true, honest opinion. And then the people that make those decisions decide off that. I think anytime you get a quarterback, you know, there's lots of ways you can win in this game. You know, there's lots of ways to move the ball, lots of ways to score touchdowns. Everybody does it differently. You know, I've been a coordinator 6 years, and, you know, I've played with 7 different quarterbacks, and each guy's been a little bit different. You know, I've had some real athletic guys, I've had some non-athletic guys, and the main thing is you got to be able to adjust. So you got to put in a scheme that is flexible, and you got to do what your quarterback's best at. You know, and if your quarterback is good at what you're doing, then you got a chance to succeed, and you got to figure out the best way to do that. You don't need a certain type of quarterback, you just want a good quarterback, and you got to figure out who the best guy is and go with the best one possible and figure out how to let him play the way he plays.
Jim, as you're kind of going through these 8 to 10 games, what are your initial impressions, at least on film? And I know you saw him last year at Barkevious Mingo.
Yeah, I mean, I coached the linebackers last year in Buffalo, so Barkevious Mingo is a guy that I'm familiar with. You know, we brought him up for one of our 30 visits before the draft, so I had a chance to get to know him on a personal level. We went out to dinner. On draft day, my wife actually made Barkevious Mingo cupcakes for the guys who had the power to make the 8th overall pick. It obviously didn't happen, but I'm a big fan of Mingo. I'm looking forward to working with him. I really am. But he flashes some on tape. You know, he did a lot of good things. He's obviously a young player. He's got some things to work on, but we're excited as a defensive staff to get him back here and start working with him.
In some ways as an opportunity to kind of get out from underneath a Gary Kubiak or a Mike Shanahan and do your own thing? And will you bring other types of schemes to the table?
Not really. I mean, I think that is – it's good to get out of the perception for that, you know, show you guys. But, you know, in my own mind and myself, you know, I put that scheme in that we used there in Houston and did the same thing in Washington. And, you know, I'm pretty confident in what I've been asked to do and what my responsibility was in both of those buildings. So I feel good about it, but, you know – now it's, you know, being with the defensive coach and stuff, it'll be nice to prove that to you guys.
Kyle, you had great success running the football out of the pistol in Washington with Alfred Morris and the offensive line. Is that more specific to their player skills, or is that a big staple of your philosophy of how to run the football?
No, I personally think the pistol is, you know, it's the pistol is, you know, just a few feet behind under center. So, you know, there's not much difference in the pistol than taking the ball under center. You know, what the pistol gives you is the threat of the zone read. Doesn't mean you have to run the zone read out of it, but you can run the rest of your offense out of the pistol where you can't always in shotgun. So that's what pistol does advantage of. The great thing for us in Washington when we first did the pistol was we ran everything that we have always done, what we had done in Houston and what we had done in Washington the years prior. It just happened to be that you can run the zone read out of it also. And you can't – I would love to find a way to run it under center, but I don't know that way yet. So, you know, if you got a guy who can do that and you want that threat to, because it is a good play and it makes the defenses account for another person on the field. And if you got a guy where he can be a threat in that, it's a good thing to add to the offense.
We hear a lot about the zone blocking scheme as it pertains to the running game, especially what kind of linemen and backs kind of fit in with your philosophy in that scheme.
You know, I think, you know, obviously that's what we've done is a zone scheme. And, I think it gets a little overrated in terms that you got to have smaller guys and guys who can move and stuff. And, you know, really, you want to get the best alignment possible. You want guys who can come off the ball, guys who can run numbers to numbers. But you want those guys as big as possible while they still have some quickness that they can reach people and really create space for a back. You want a guy who can press holes, can get downhill, and always get good yards per carry, not always looking for the home run, but not a guy that has to get a 60-yarder to average 4 yards a carry. And it'd be nice to just keep feeding a guy, and his longest run in the game might be 10 yards, but still at the end of the game, he's averaging 4.2 a carry. So I just want a consistent running game where you're never getting in third and longs, always trying to be in a manageable down and distance where the defense can never really tee off on run or pass. It's really tough to block those guys when they know what you're doing. And if they always got to think about the run or think about the pass and play both, it gives you a huge advantage on offense.
Kyle, when you were being interviewed, I guess there were a couple offensive coaches already hired, or at least there were reports of them. You brought the receiver coach is from Washington, so you're familiar with him. But was it at all a concern of yours that a lot of the offensive staff was hired before you were?
No, not really. I mean, you know, we're a fraternity in this league too, so we talk a lot with coaches, and you know, I haven't worked with those guys before, but I'm very familiar with them, just as people, you know, great people, and you know, their resumes on tape, and you know, I've been able to watch, you know, our O-line coach Andy Moeller over the years, and he's done as good of a job in running the ball. I thought the year they won the Super Bowl there in Baltimore, they were running outside zone as good as anyone. It was a team that we looked at a lot, so you know, I respect the heck out of Andy as an offensive line coach, and when I heard that he was on the staff, I was very excited to have a chance to get with them.
Jim, when you guys, the type of defense you had in Buffalo was really sort of what they hoped to have here last year. You had a lot of sacks and creating turnovers. How do you basically go into somewhere new and create that, what do you want to call it, attacking, whatever style it is?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I think it's going to start with finding out exactly what our guys are good at, you know, what are our strengths, what are our weaknesses. But, I mean, our philosophy has always been to be multiple and create confusion for the offensive side of the ball. And that really allows the guys up front to get a lot of one-on-one blocks. And that's where you want guys, you know, like Mingo, Kruger, Sheard, all those pass rusher type guys. You know, that's what they want. It takes the chips off of them. It takes the line slides off of them. And it gives them a chance to win one-on-one.
Those lines, just to follow up, you mentioned Kruger. You know, they spent a lot of money, brought him in here. Obviously, they're hoping for more sacks and things. What do you think of him as a player?
Like I said before, we're still going through the evaluation process, but, you know, Kruger's a guy I did write up in free agency last year. I think he's a very good football player. I think that as a whole, we tend to put a lot of stock in just sacks, but that doesn't tell the whole story. I mean, a lot of guys could be getting doubled. You know, if they're a very good pass rusher, they could be dictating line slides. They could be getting chipped from running backs, which opens the door for other guys to make plays along the defensive line or guys that are blitzing. What stat nobody talks about is he making the quarterback throw the ball out of rhythm or not on time, or is he hitting the quarterback? Is he causing production? You know, so, you know, just because he only had 4.5 sacks doesn't mean he didn't have a good year. But again, we're still going through it, and Paul's a guy we're excited to coach. You know, so I'm looking forward to him getting back here.
Chris, what does it say about you that now you're on, that you've been able to survive 2 coaching changes and still be here?
Well, I think it says that the good Lord's watching over me, to be honest with you. I think I'm fortunate. Myself and my assistant, Sean Miniga, who does an outstanding job with us, it's nice to be able to stay at a place and continue to coach the guys and keep your system implemented and going and continue to grow with it. But I'm excited for this next challenge right here. You know, I mean, my area, the roster is always fluid, so we'll have a whole bunch of new guys probably in some spots, and that's fine, and we're excited about that. But just excited and fortunate that I'm here.
I don't know, Jim or Mike, one of you can answer this.
So you guys had 57 sacks in Buffalo last year, yet you were 20th in points allowed and gave up 28 passing touchdowns, plus you had all those interceptions. So was it a gambling defense, or why so many points allowed when you got to the quarterback like you did?
Let's have Jim answer that.
All right.
You know, I mean – I think the strength of our defense was obviously up front last year in Buffalo, and I wouldn't say we're gambling. You know, we do a lot of stuff where we overload a protection, but we're still dropping guys out in the coverage. The number of touchdown passes we had on us was obviously high. It was the highest number in our previous, probably our 5 years together through New York and Buffalo, and that's something that we're going to look to improve on. But I wouldn't say that we are a high risk defense. You know what I mean? I think that when we do pressure, it's calculated, and we do a lot of stuff that looks like pressure, but it's a lot safer than it may appear because we're sending four, but it's an unconventional four guys, and we're still dropping seven guys into coverage.
Defense here, I think they were ranked 10th maybe last year, but they had trouble closing out games. They let a lot of leads go in the fourth quarter. How do you close that door? Is it simply some of the things you said earlier, you know, harassing quarterbacks a little bit more and getting that key play in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I think it starts with preparation, you know, and that's our job as coaches to get those guys prepared. And, you know, if you're prepared, you have confidence to make plays in those critical situations. And I know Coach Pettine's a big believer in those situations. We're going to thrive. We're not going to survive. We don't want our guys to be scared to make plays. You know, if they see something, go. Pull the trigger. And we're going to be big on that. And I think that you got to do the best job that you can to try to simulate that in practice. I mean, the offensive staff and defensive staff's already talking trash to each other in the office. So, I mean, we're going to create that atmosphere through the spring and in the training camp. And then, you know, that's all part of learning how to win, is thriving in those critical situations.
Can you talk about what you know about Brian Hoyer? And also, Brandon Whedon has become a large lightning rod around here. Is there anything salvageable there, or do you think when a guy reaches that point, it's time to just start fresh somewhere else?
Well, you know, I'm familiar with both of them, you know, mainly from coming out of college. When you're an offensive coach, you don't study too much offensive players. You're mainly looking at defense throughout the year and things like that, and you study guys when they come up for free agency. And I look forward to studying these guys as I get here. You know, I've been here, I think, 3 days, and it's been more about finishing the coaching staff and haven't really got to evaluate much Cleveland tape yet. But, you know, I know Brandon from college, and I was a big fan of him coming out of Michigan State. You know, I looked at him when he was available after New England, and I think he's got a chance to succeed in this league. In Whedon, you know, I was able to coach at the Senior Bowl. So I spent some time with him down there. You know, we knew pretty earlier we were going with Robert that year, so, you know, we didn't go through with it and finish all the stuff with him. But, you know, I enjoyed him at the Senior Bowl, thought he was a great person, you know, has some really, really good qualities and a very good thrower. But I really can't totally answer that question until I really get into what he's done in the NFL. And I'm going to really be doing this over the next month or so, and I'm doing pretty hard until the players get here.
How would you describe your relationship with RG3? And did you learn anything about, if you guys take another quarterback high, about coaching a guy who's in the spotlight if he's a, you know, top five pick?
Yeah, I think you know, Robert and I had 2 years together, and you know, we did a lot of real good things together. Very proud of that first year. You know, I think he arguably had one of the best years in NFL history for a rookie quarterback, and enjoyed coaching him, challenging me because, you know, I had to do some things that I hadn't done before, so I had to look at tape in a different way and try to put some different things in. And I think that improved myself. You know, it made me, I'm able to see the game a little differently. I was able to do some things with Robert that I hadn't been able to do with other quarterbacks, and it was really fun to do. I think, you know, that injury and then going into that second year, you know, it was a challenge. Anytime you go through a 3-13 season, you know, it's tough. And Robert and I always had a great relationship, enjoyed coaching him. Anytime you go through a 3-13 season, it is a challenge. It's a challenge on your relationship. It's a challenge with everybody in the building. You got to deal with a lot of stuff, a lot of negativity. And the thing I learned going through that, especially with a high-profile guy, there's a lot more stuff that comes out. And the thing that I always did with him and that we did with each other is when stuff would come out, we'd address it. You know, we'd get into our room, we'd talk about it and make sure we felt good about it. And I think Robert and I, you know, through a very tough time, we managed to keep our relationship through the year. I'm not going to say it was easy. Nothing's easy when you go through something like that. But I do believe going through it, Robert and I, in the long run, it'll make both of us better. It's something that is a challenge, and I do believe going through that, as hard as it was, will help me. And I think when it's all said and done and Robert and I look back on it, I'm really appreciative of some of the stuff he did for me, and I really believe he'll be appreciative of some of the stuff I did for him.
Kyle, you said that you thought
I think it's a chance to succeed or something with Brian. It was a little hard to hear. Can you just elaborate on Hoyer's game and just what you've seen?
Yeah, I looked at him as a free agent, so I've seen him do some stuff in the NFL, and I did like him a lot coming out of college. So I believe coming out of college, he had the chance to succeed. When I looked at him when he was available a few years ago, even quickly when Arizona, I believe, let him go, I did like what I saw. So I think Brian is a very capable guy. You really never know if everybody's looking for one of those top five guys. You know, if you're not one of those top five guys, then the odds are you're trying to get replaced. And obviously no one here has proven that they are one of those top five guys, and that's why that position is probably harder than any position on the planet, and that's why I respect that position and the type of man it takes to handle that pressure. So until you are one of those top guys, everyone's going to be telling you you're not good enough. But he has shown that he can play in this league, and so you got to see what his ceiling is and how high of a level he can reach. And if you feel that he can, everybody wants a franchise quarterback, and really believe that's the only way to have sustained success in this league. And not saying he is, but he's had the NFL tape and hasn't shown that he can't be. So I'm looking forward to studying more of the stuff he did here. And as I believe it was 2.5 games that he played. And it's nice to be in this building so I can look at a little more practice tape also, so I get a little bit more tape than I would outside of this building. And excited to watch him.
Does that do it, everybody? Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, guys.